The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's estimated that one in 19 people in Ireland is a carrier of the cystic fibrosis gene. With Cystic Fibrosis Ireland's annual fundraising day, 65 Roses Day, taking place on Friday, we're joined in studio by Professor Paul McNally of the RCSI and by Louise Dowling, who is a carrier of the gene and who is mother to 11-year-old Erin, who has cystic fibrosis. Good morning and welcome to you both. Tell us about Erin.
Well, Erin is a typical 11-year-old boy, very much into his football, gaming, has a great group of friends. So if I had him here with you, with us today...
I would never know.
You wouldn't know. No, you wouldn't. And so he's a great kid, but unfortunately at the moment he's in hospital and that's the reality of CF.
Tell me about the challenges that he faces when it comes against him.
So he typically gets quite a lot of coughs and colds, so he'd be on antibiotics quite a lot, and we're always in touch with the team in Crumlin. They're great in terms of giving us advice on what to do. Lots of coughs and colds, very prone to picking up other bacterial infections and things in his lungs as well, so we always have to be very careful about things like that as well.
So he's in hospital now. Why?
When he was in clinic about 2 weeks ago, his doctor picked up that he had a slight collapse in one of his lungs and a mucus plug. So that's preventing his airways from kind of working properly at the moment.
Now, you know, we hear about miracle drugs and so on for cystic fibrosis. Is he one of those who can take those drugs?
No, unfortunately, there's about 6%, 6.5% of people with CF who can't take the modulators. Partially that is because they have, like Erin, rare genes, so they haven't had the opportunity to be tried with those medications.
And they can't take the risk of just dishing them out in case there might be an adverse effect?
No, well, there's some countries that are trying new approaches, like France. What they did is they started and they took a cohort of rare patients and they gave them a limited supply of the medication and they tested them before and after to see if the medication would work with rare patients as well.
And
that came out quite positively. There was, I think, I could be wrong, Paul can kind of correct me on that, but possibly about 30% of those people benefited from that medication still. So there's certainly a cohort of rare patients that could benefit.
So how do you cope? What do you have to do to keep Erin in good shape?
Well, really, the work is all Erin's. So he has to do physio 3 times a day at the moment, which is inhalers, various different kind of saline inhalers, pulmazine, different things like that. That takes a bit of time in the mornings before school. We're often quite late. Well, not quite late, but we're often a bit late for school. And then he has to do a lot of physical exercise as well to try and keep his lungs clear and keep things moving, because the mucus gets quite sticky. And that's where the bacteria likes to thrive then, if he picks up anything.
Okay, so he is very sporty, very active.
He's pretty sporty.
Pretty sporty.
He's also,
is he listening
likes,
at the
he
moment?
He likes gaming as well. Is, he could
know,
be.
Does he know his mum is on the radio?
He probably does, yeah.
Well, say good morning, Erin, if you're listening.
Thank you.
In hospital at the moment. Now, talk to me about you being a carrier of the gene. Mm-hmm. How did you discover?
When Erin was born, we didn't know, and it hadn't been picked up within the families on either side. So Erin was born with something called meconium ileus, which is that he couldn't pass the meconium, which is the first poo that babies are supposed to have.
Yeah.
And from that, then he was rushed to Crumlin Hospital and the conversation started around a couple of different diagnoses. But CF,
had you already had a child?
No, we didn't. We've
That's
had a child
first.
Since, but she doesn't have CF.
Okay. No, so being a carrier, therefore your husband had to be a carrier too.
Yeah.
And neither of you knew, there was no CF on either side of the family?
None that we were aware of. It's still, you know, obviously family know now, and it still hasn't shown up that anyone else has any children with CF. But it is only 1 in 4 if you're both carriers. So, you know, it still can be a chance that people can have kids.
But still, that stat about 1 in 19 people being a carrier, I'm not going to do the math at the moment to figure it out. But, you know, it means that we have quite a sizable cohort of CF patients.
Yeah.
So, Paul, talk to me about the science of all of this. The first of all, do people ever get screened for CF gene, you know, blindly, not knowing whether it's in their families or not? Or is it always inevitably after a child with CF is born?
Yeah, it's at the moment, I think almost everywhere, it's through the newborn screening program. There aren't any countries that I'm aware of that do carrier screening de novo. Screening does come with a risk. Some people don't want to know that they're a carrier. You might be, you know, planning your family and, you know, that you know, you might be thinking about, you know, career, you might be thinking about insurance. So when you look at carrier screening, the data out there is that there are a certain amount of people who just don't want to know about it.
And then the life choices you might have to make, you meet the love of your life,
exactly,
and
yeah.
You both are screened, you're both carriers. Is it goodbye or is it no children or what is it? You know, the life decisions that might be made. Where are we in terms of the science of all of this? I mean, we know some or all of the genes that are responsible.
Louise referred to this 6% or so with these very rare genes. So roughly 90 to 95% of cases are caused by a small number of genes that we know of and are well described. And then the other roughly 5% is another couple of thousand extremely rare genes. There's a lot of people going around where there's only a couple of people in the world with that specific genotype. And that's
so
a
your
real
odds
challenge.
Of meeting someone maybe that would lead to the birth of a CF child, would that be low? Or?
No, it doesn't matter what the gene mutation is.
Ah.
Any two gene mutations can lead to somebody with a child with cystic fibrosis. So, provides a challenge then in terms of developing treatments, because it's easy to develop them for genes where there's a lot of those mutations, because that's easier to test. It's much harder than with rarer mutations.
So now, in terms of treatment, we're talking about the drugs that unfortunately Aaron is not getting at the moment. Perhaps someday he will qualify for them, and 30% shot, not a bad ratio that it might help. But, you know, looking towards a cure, and all the time when we're talking to Luke O'Neill and regularly on the program about scientific breakthroughs and, you know, whether it's in immunology or whatever, but often in gene editing, CRISPR technology,
yep.
Is that going to be relevant to CF?
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's happening at the moment. The story of the development of these new CF treatments is really, it's fascinating. And it's a model that a lot of people are trying to copy at the moment. And it all started with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation in the US. They made a very brave decision to invest, fundraise money into a pharmaceutical company with this express purpose of developing a CF-specific drug, and a drug that treats the basic defect in CF as opposed to just treating complications, which was what previously was done. And that was a great success, that drug, Kalydeco, but it only dealt with about 4% of the population internationally. But based on the profits that the CF Foundation made from that, they've reinvested all of that money into new partnerships now with new companies. And it was basically because of that risk that they took that all of the downstream treatments that are being developed at the moment were developed. So they're putting $500 million now into new investments with new pharmaceutical companies for gene editing, for base editing, for CRISPR, all of those types of treatments that we call mutation agnostic. So it doesn't matter what mutation you have, those type of treatments would work for everybody across the board.
Now, what's the horizon on that? Because we talk about nuclear fusion and it's always, 20 years away or whatever, and it will remain so. Is that the way with this? Because you've already seen some pretty startling treatments become available.
Yeah. So there are gene therapy trials ongoing in the UK, and they've been ongoing for a couple of years. And there are a couple of phase one and phase two trials at the moment in gene editing in adults with cystic fibrosis. So it's here already. What usually happens with these type of trials is they do them in adults first, and then they start moving down the age groups. And so we've just completed the first trial from newborns, and we were the leading centre in the world for recruitment in Crumlin. So now the first treatment for CF is all the way down to newborn babies. And so this is what we're expecting for the subsequent treatments, that they'll go from adults to adolescents to children to infants and all the way down to babies. And that's the hope, is that we'll get there before
now,
the damage starts.
There was a time when CF was viewed as severely life-limiting. The horizon, though, has gone up and up and up and up.
Yeah, it's gotten much better. We have to remember that's for most people. There are a cohort of people who haven't got access to these treatments yet. And we also have to remember that if you've had CF for your whole life and you have a lot of organ damage, that's not going to be reversed by these treatments. So what's been happening is that children have been getting healthier, we're sending healthier adolescents over to the adult hospitals, but the adult population is getting bigger and bigger and bigger because we're keeping everybody alive for longer. But that often that's with disease, with irreversible disease. Yeah. So we're definitely getting there, but it's going to take a generation for us to start preventing damage as opposed to picking it up once we found it.
Now, meantime, your job as parent, just keep Aaron, you know, as healthy and happy as he can be. And he sounds like he's normally pretty go, as a young boy.
Yeah.
So the things that he does, I mean, I believe he has a trampoline.
We have a trampoline in the back garden, which he would be on probably daily. But he also does trampoline classes twice a week.
And so he's not just your jumper up and down?
He can do somersaults. He can do very fun. He'd put you to shame, Pat. He's amazing on it. And he had a competition a few weeks ago as well. So he loves that. And that's a great exercise for him. So that's one of the things he loves to do. And he's getting into football. He's busy at the moment in the hospital. His uncle brought him down an old Trafford Lego set. So he's busy working on that because he's a big Man U fan. So, yeah.
A bit of disappointment at the weekend when should have won. And don't talk about the 2-3 nights before on Thursday night. Anyway, perhaps next year will be our year because I'm a fan as well. So he's aware of his own condition fully and aware of, all of the challenges and copes with them well.
He copes with them very well, I have to say. He very much kind of understands why he needs to do it. He understands what he needs to know for his age. But he knows why he needs to do the work, and I very much focus on the future with him. So it's always about there's good stuff coming. You just need to keep yourself strong until that stuff gets here.
And that's why fundraising is so
huge.
Important. And 65 Roses, we know that was a mishearing that gave rise to that, a mishearing of cystic fibrosis. But it gave rise to a great name for the fundraising day, 65 Roses Day. Just one final thought that occurs to me. For people who are carriers, if they did find out, maybe if a sibling had a child with cystic fibrosis and it led them to be tested, can editing of a carrier work to eliminate it from their genome?
I'm not sure about that. I think that would be challenging. But however, there are, like, when you're a carrier of a recessive gene, like cystic fibrosis, you have each embryo has a 3 out of 4 chance of not having cystic fibrosis. So often what's done is something called pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Yeah. So you produce a number of embryos and then select ones that don't have CF and implant them.
No, I was just having the utopian idea that if you could find the carrier's gene, edit their genes so they cease to become carriers and eventually it's eliminated.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it sounds great, but it's extremely hard to get in and change somebody's genes in all of their cell types. We're designed not to be messed with.
Well, I thank you both very much for coming in. Thank you very much, Louise Dowling, mother to Aaron, and also to Paul McNally, Associate Professor of Pediatrics. And for those who can, please support 65 Roses Day. It's coming up on Friday. You can donate online at 65roses.ie, or you can purchase a purple rose in Dunn stores and loads of other outlets. Just watch out for them when you're going shopping, and you'll be doing some very good work by helping out. Look, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.